Thank you for joining us for this Repertoire podcast. And now, your host, Scott Adams.
Hey guys, Scott Adams here. I am interviewing today Dr. Fred Tinover, who is the Vice President of Scientific Affairs for Cepheid. He's been with the company for about 13 years and has also served as a consultant professor of pathology at the University of Stanford School of Medicine, which is interesting. It's my second podcast in 2 weeks, someone from Stanford. Prior to joining Cepheid, he was at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta for 18 years. Needless to say, guys, he has a ton of knowledge, and he was so passionate on this podcast with me. I'm excited for you to hear it. He reminded me, for those of you who've heard me interview Jim Poggi in the past and how he gets so excited about lab, Dr. Tinover is very similar. You're gonna enjoy it. It'll keep you very engaged. So let's get started and let's roll. Dr. Tinover, I'm so excited to have this conversation with you today. All of us have been watching over the last year during this pandemic as different tests have come on the market and molecular has become more and more in the eyes of all of those folks and maybe even the general public besides just physicians and labs across the country. So having a conversation like this with you today is exciting for me.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Before we get started, where are you? What part of the country are you in today?
So I'm in California, sunny California.
Nice. Are you in southern, northern?
I'm in the Bay Area, so just a little bit south of San Francisco and west of San Jose.
Beautiful. I love that area of the country. Hey, so just to get started here, we've obviously been in the current pandemic for well over a year as we've all been living it. Can you talk a little bit to the audience on COVID testing and how it's evolved since the start of the pandemic?
Sure, Scott. You know, whenever I think about this this issue of testing, the image that comes to my mind is on the nightly news, cars lined up for a couple miles to stick their head out of the window and get a nasal swab to know whether they're infected or not. Never before, I think, in the history of laboratory medicine, have we seen so much emphasis on diagnostic testing. And I think about, you know, Dr. Tony Fauci being on the news every night saying, we need this testing, and Nancy Pelosi saying, we need more testing, the governor of California saying, we need more testing. The focus was really on how do we get this information? And the response from diagnostic companies was overwhelming. I mean, think about this. We have over 300 tests that have been authorized under the emergency use authorization by the FDA. If you go to Europe, they have over 700 tests. Now, all of those tests are not of the same quality, and that is something that's been sorting itself out over the last year. But what we've come to understand is that testing really has evolved into like three major buckets. We've got the diagnostic testing in batch mode, where people load everything up and they send it off to a reference laboratory. And in the early days, the turnaround time was like 5 to 7 days. And then we have the on-demand testing like Cepheid, where you could get your response really back in less than an hour. And then we had the influx of first the antigen tests and then the serology tests that were used for surveillance, a very, very different question, very important for public health, but not really what was being done in the clinical laboratory, where the focus was really on the diagnostics.
As you you talked about the three different types there, and I wanted to just jump in and tell a quick story before I ask you these next couple of questions. I was in Costa Rica last month, and we had to get an antigen test to come back to the States, and we went to go do it, and they're like, "Oh, we can't do that. You have to come back, you know, in 24 or 48 hours." I'm like, "My flight's tomorrow." And then they said, we can do a PCR test though today, no problem. So I've had it, and I want to talk about that today. Can you share a little bit more on the three buckets of testing, especially the PCR based test and how Cepheid fits into that picture? And maybe some of the ways that you guys differentiate yourself in that COVID assay from other testing options.
Sure. So Cepheid does fall into that PCR bucket. Especially in the on-demand bucket, because our test can be done in about 45 minutes for the COVID assay or for our fourplex assay, which is influenza A and B, RSV, and SARS-CoV-2, you can get that done in about 30 minutes. And so this is really important, especially if you think about the hospital setting. Somebody comes in, they need to go to surgery right now. I mean, you can't wait 4 or 5 hours or 3 or 4 days to get an answer. You need that answer up front. And this is really where people look to the Cepheid product as their differentiator for getting that rapid, highly accurate answer. And if you think about, if you talk to our customers about what they see the value of the gene expert, I think there's really four things that come out all the time. Number one is the ease of use. You take the specimen, you put it in the cartridge, you close the lid, you put it in the machine, and the next thing you get is your answer. They also talk about the high degree of accuracy. This is a test with really high sensitivity and very high specificity. So what does that mean? Well, sensitivity means you're going to detect everybody in the population that has COVID-19. And specificity means those people that are negative, don't have the disease, or come out negative in your test. And these two things really need to be in balance. You really want to have both of those present in your test. And then the other thing that's a differentiator is that we have two targets in the assay. So we have what's called the E gene target and the N2. Well, what does that mean? Well, the E target is very, very highly conserved among the SARS viruses. So that gives us like broad detection. And then the N2 target is one that's highly specific for SARS-CoV-2. So if there's a little bit of change in there, we know that we're not going to miss anything. We've got that dual strategy that's in place right now. And so I think that's how things are starting to sort themselves out. So Cepheid N coming in as the PCR option, highly accurate, really easy to use.
Yeah, Dr. Tenever, I want to unpack a little bit of that with you. And we obviously have a lot of different listeners today to this podcast. We've got some folks on the distribution side, and then we'll have some end users as well. And when we start talking about the best instruments for all customer types, Cepheid's scalable instruments are used obviously in the POC or point of care in the hospital laboratories, as well as in a lot of national reference labs. Are the CLIA wave molecular systems, the Expert Express systems, are they the best instruments for all customer types in your opinion?
Well, no, it depends on your use. Let's be clear on where they're not the best option. And that is if you want to do surveillance. There's other tests like antigen tests that are cheaper, faster, but they don't have that same sensitivity. You know, and this is one of the interesting articles that have come up over and over again is don't worry about sensitivity, just test every day. Well, that's not really practical, but it points to a public health strategy. That's fine. That's not a Cepheid recommendation. Where you want to use the Cepheid test is really where you need that fast, highly accurate answer, and you want to have it the same across all venues. And I think it's important to recognize that point of care assay that you're going to do on the Expert Express system is exactly the same assay they're going to do in the academic medical center, in the national reference laboratory, in your mid-sized hospital. All the same test. You have the ability to scale. You can go with a module or 2 modules or 4 modules at the point of care, or you can have 80 modules in an infinity in a high throughput laboratory in an academic medical center. So that's very important for people to understand. The other thing is we really need to think about what else can you do on that instrument? So if you're going to have that Express system sitting there at the point of care, maybe in an urgent care, maybe in a physician office laboratory. And as the COVID season starts to wind down, what do you do with that instrument? Well, fortunately, there's other tests available. So we do have the 4-plex I mentioned before that detects flu A and B and respiratory syncytial virus as well as COVID. Now, why is that important? It's because clinically, when somebody walks in the door and they've got a headache, they've got a cough, they've got some fatigue, that could be influenza, that could be COVID, or it could be RSV. And the reason you need to differentiate those rapidly is because we do have influenza antivirals, but they are different from COVID antivirals. So we have therapy that we can use. So we need to figure out which path that patient is on. Well, what about RSV? Well, we don't have RSV antivirals yet, but RSV requires infection prevention interventions. Those patients that get RSV tend to be either very young or very old, but always transmissible. So we need to get those people into contact precautions. So we've got three different pathways we can go down clinically. And so as soon as we can get that answer, we can put the patient on that right pathway. The other thing to think about is, think about our flu season this year. Oh, actually, we didn't have one. Why? Probably because we had so much social distancing and masking that we didn't see that transmission. But as we move to the next phase and people start to take those masks on, people start to congregate again, and kids start coming back to school, the CDC is predicting that this next flu season could be a bad one. So you really need to know that your test is going to pick up flu as well as COVID, and you're going to get that differentiation. But let me say one other thing about schools. Kids coming back to school, what do we see when kids congregate? We see group A strep. We see strep throat. And that's another assay that's available on the GeneXpert Express platform. So thinking about all those tests, thinking about the next couple months that are coming up, as we move into the next respiratory season, you're going to want an instrument there in your laboratory or in your facility that's going to give you a broader menu beyond just that COVID test.
I think that's that information is unbelievable for not only the folks that will be using these tests, but also the distribution folks that are listening to this podcast today, because that's your selling points right there into accounts when we're talking outside of COVID. But I'm going to pivot here and come back. One thing I love about podcasts is you get to talk about timely things that are going on right now. We're hearing a bunch about COVID-19 mutations. We read daily, or we see on the news daily how the SARS virus has mutated over time, resulting into different variations and circulating different viral strands over the course, of the pandemic. Talk to me a little bit about how do these mutations impact the performance of Cepheid's COVID test specifically?
Yeah, Scott, that is a great question. And, you know, I think these days in the last 4 months know more virology than they probably learned in 10 years of school. But let's be clear, RNA viruses and SARS-CoV-2 is an RNA virus. They always mutate. We expect them to mutate. They're changing. When they make more viruses, it's not all that accurate. So you get these mutations. We get these changes in the nucleic acid of the virus. And some of those are lethal and they kill the virus. Most of them are neutral in that it doesn't really change the virus for better or for worse, but we get some that are really an advantage to the virus. So the virus can glom onto that receptor. It can infect easier. It can spread more easy. And those are the ones we see emerging in populations. So they go by numbers like B117 or B1351. We're trying not to put the blame on anybody. So we're trying not to call it the UK virus or the South African virus, but these are the ones that found that advantage. They have the ability now to cause more infections, be more severe, or in some cases, as we've seen with the South African variants, to evade vaccines. So what about the Cepheid test in particular? All of these viruses are detected by the Cepheid assay. There are none of the major emerging clones, those emerging mutant strains that are escaping detection. So we have a lot of confidence in the robustness of our test out there. And as we say, whether you're talking about UK, Brazilian, South African, Indian 1, Indian 2, the California variant or the New York variant. Yeah, there's actually a lot more variants out there than people are probably aware of. So far, with the SARS-CoV-2 assay on the expert, you're good to go. No false negatives.
That's great to know. You know, in thinking a little bit, let me just say this. Thank you so much for your time. I know I've taken a lot of it. I do have one more question for you. And back almost a generation ago, when I was a strapping 25-year-old, I sold microbiology products into physician offices through the distribution channel. And the season that's coming up for us here in about 2 to 3 months, we always called back then, we called selling season. It's obviously called respiratory season. And it's when kids get back in school and people start getting back together. And we're going to see that in large part based off of what we've, you know, the separation that we've had for the last year. As we start thinking about respiratory season, Dr. Tenover, can you talk a little bit about the challenges that may lay ahead for physicians as they start diagnosing patients in this upcoming season? You know, is it COVID, flu, RSV, strep, or all of the above?
Yeah, it's going to be all of the above. And let's remember that it's not just kids that get strep throat. Adults also get strep throat, and everybody gets COVID, including kids, and everybody can get influenza. And so the respiratory season is exactly that. And don't forget, there's some other things out there as well. But really, these are the big five we need to think about. Flu A, flu B. And remember, sometimes we have an influenza A season that's big, and sometimes it's B and we never know. So you need to have both of those covered. Respiratory syncytial virus is a fascinating virus because the RSV season usually starts a month or 6 weeks before flu, and it lasts about a month after flu. So we see RSV start to come up. And in many cases, Scott, that's the signal that says, whoa, we're into the respiratory season already. And you're absolutely right. We used to call it the flu season. We don't anymore because we have such good tests for RSV and we pick it up that we know that's also in the mix. But for kids coming back to school, yeah, there's more protections than they've had before. We're going to see some masking still. We're going to see people that are vaccinated. We're going to see some physical barriers, some more plexiglass, but strep is strep and it spreads really well. And kids are not always going to be in those barriers, in those areas. They're going to be out circulating and they're going to be in stores. They're going to be in grocery stores. They're going to be out playing in the playground together. And so strep is going to come back. So we need to be ready to address all of those potential pathogens that are going to be on our doorstep again. And again, having a single platform where you can address all of those and get your answers all within about that 30-minute time frame. It's less than 30 minutes for group A strep. It's about 30 minutes for the fourplex. Yeah, you've got your answer right there. And be assured that you've got not only the ease of use, so virtually anybody around can run this test. I mean, frankly, this is no more difficult than a Keurig coffee maker. You're going to get those answers. You're going to get them rapidly. And your clinicians are just going to have the confidence that the result they're getting is actionable. And they're going to have the right pathway and know exactly what to do next.
Dr. Tenover, it's nice to interview someone that is so passionate about their subject. And this was a great podcast. I've thoroughly enjoyed talking with you today. And I know the audience is going to get a lot out of this. Thank you so much for joining me here.
Thank you, Scott. I've really enjoyed it as well. Be safe.
Hopefully everyone got a ton out of that podcast. Dr. Tenover was so passionate there, and I know there was a ton of information to unpack. You may want to go back and re-listen to this and take some notes along the way. I should have said that at the beginning, but it was so good to talk with him. I very much hope I get to interview him again on different topics down the road. He was so entertaining to listen to, and it's always nice when someone's passionate. So good luck out there, and we will talk to you soon.